If you realize for the past the weeks, we have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, I think if you look, we were looking at in terms of love. And today we will jump into another one, which is called joy, right? I think we like to be joyful. We like to be happy. We like to be, you know, jumping around and being excited in the presence of God. Just to give in some terms of summary, you know, we wanted to look at the fruit of the Spirit because it speaks about the way that we, you know, we are called to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When a person is living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, he or she begins to reveal these things, these attributes, right, that is being produced by the presence of God that is working in our lives. And so today, as I told you, I think it's going to be on joy. And when I was working on this particular text, I was asking myself, you know, what should I be speaking on? And I, you know, this particular passage was just coming to my mind, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Just to give you, in terms of background, you know, Peter is writing to the scattered Christians in Asia Minor. And so these Christians were scattered because of persecution. And when they were around there, they were just struggling because they did not know what to do. There were constant persecution. At the same time, you know, there was always a temptation to live like the rest of the people in the world, because when they looked around, the very normal people were just enjoying life, right? They were doing things that was just fulfilling the desires of their heart. And so these Christians were just caught up. They had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter reminds them by saying, you know, about their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought verse 8 is a very powerful verse. You know, Peter says, though you have not seen him, so he reminds the Christians over there that though you have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not personally seen his physical appearance, but you love him, right? And so he is emphasizing on the faith, and he says, you know, you have not seen him. And when I was looking at the text, it reminds me of ourselves too. We have not seen Christ, right? We have not seen him face to face. But we know him, right? We know him. And so he reminds us, following Christians, by saying, but you love him, even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And then he says, you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And so when Peter writes and he's saying, you know, you have not seen him, but you have the joy. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the joy. And so he's talking to them about joy that comes to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When I was looking at this particular text, you know, I was reminded of three things that was just coming to my mind. When you speak about joy or change in our emotions in terms of happiness and all that, there are three words. Firstly, you know, we have pleasures in our life, right? Pleasure is different from happiness. Happiness is different from joy. When pleasure, the great philosopher talks about it, you know, he talks about pleasure, which is in the body. In other words, you enjoy. It's pleasure. It's nice to have a snack time because we enjoy, right? We enjoy the food. It brings nourishment to our body. It brings joy to ourselves. It's a bodily thing that is pleasure. But then when you look at happiness, happiness is very connected to the circumstances around you. You know, you have a promotion that takes place and you're so excited about it. You have good grades, right? And I know that some of you are preparing for exam and your professors comes and say, you know, these are your grades. You're so excited about it. And so it is because of what's happening around you. But joy is deep in the heart, right? It is not external. It is not influenced by external stuff or pleasures of the body, but it's deep in the heart. It's deep in the spirit, the center of your life. Someone said it is something that is very permanent. It remains in you. Happiness comes and goes off, right? Today, I'm happy because I have a good meal. And tomorrow, you know, I don't have a good meal, so happiness is no more with me. But joy is something very permanent. It's in you. And it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul writes Galatians, he's talking about when you have joy because the Spirit of God is in you, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not only love, but it's also joy in you. It's the work of the Spirit in our lives. And a couple of things I thought it would be good for us to look in this particular text. You know, before I jump in, you know, we live in a world where there's been a lot of emphasis. I was just trying to do some kind of a study, and I realized there's been a lot of study about negative emotions, right? Today we talk about depressions, we talk about anxiety, right? We talk about all the negative stuff. I'm not saying we shouldn't be talking about it, because there are many people affected by all these things. But very interestingly, one of the main theme of the scripture is about joy, right? It's not about depression. Yes, the Bible does speak about people who have went through difficult times. One of the major, or even the major theme of the scripture, it's about joy, it's about rejoicing. Joy appears 158 times. Right? Rejoice appears 198 times. You know, David was, you know, he started the service by talking about Psalms, right? About people crying to God. But do you know something? Yes, people were just crying to God. Right? And even David said, Lord, do not take away your spirit away from me. But if you realize, many of the verses in Psalms have the word joy. Even in the midst of my difficulties, David was able to say, I have the joy in me, which cannot be taken away from me. I know God is with me. He is in control of my life. Circumstances will be changing, pleasures will be no more. There will be persecution, right? There will be pain in my body, but what's in me, the joy that the Spirit of God is giving me, will always be remaining in me. And so Peter speaks about it, and I think it is our desire even today as Christians, we want to be people full of joy. And firstly, when you look at the text very carefully, he's talking about we love Christ, right? Though we have not seen him, but we love him. So Peter is reminding the Christians again, you know, this joy is not something that comes from somewhere else. It's because of your genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was happening? You know, they had faith, they started off very well, but because of circumstances or situations around them, you know, the faith was just loosening. In other words, they were just living away from their faith. And so Peter reminds them by saying, Jesus is the ground of our joy, right? And our joy is tied to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is permanent. So he says, you know, if you have faith in Jesus and if you love God, you have a relationship with this God, his joy is in you. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 15 verse 11, right, if you remain in me, or you remain in you, your joy, right, no one will take it away from you. And so, you know, many times we think, you know, joy is something, you know, some, it comes, no, but Jesus says, you know, it's all because of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even Peter reminds the Christians over there. And so the fruit of the Spirit is because of my genuine faith. Why many Christians are struggling today? Why is it, you know, today we are happy, or in other words, I'm not saying that, you know, we cannot be sad, right? But do we have the joy that, you know, that yes, God is in control. I have the inner peace, right? Why? Because I think it's all related to our faith, right? If our faith in Christ is not that firm, it affects my confidence in God, the joy, the feeling. Someone said, you know, joy in the Christian context means it's a good feeling. You feel good. Even though things are not good, but you still feel good. It's not denial, but you feel good because you know God is good and he takes control of that. And the more I look at particular text, you know, joy flows from God, right? And because God is full of joy, and the psalmist always reminds of it. And there was a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He prayed in John chapter 17, verse 13. Jesus prayed for the followers that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And so Why? When we remain in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us, you know, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's important, our faith. So our faith affects our joy. Our relationship with Christ affects our joy. Our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ affects our joy. So the more I walk closer with God, someone said the more closer you walk with God, the more trials you will have, but then you'll have more joy. Right? And that's what Peter is reminding the church. We love God, and so you will have that particular joy in you. So the author of joy is Christ, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit, which is, if you look at these verses, it says it is a gift, right? In Romans 13:15, the God of hope fill you with all joy. It's a gift. And I think as Christians, we need to be asking God, Lord, give me that joy, because you're in me, and let me have that confidence. Let me feel good, even though things are not going, well for me. But help me know that you are in control. Everything is in control. And lastly, it's also divinely produced. Secondly, Peter reminds the church, it's because we love Jesus, it is permanent. He is with us. Do not lose the joy. Do not lose your faith. Because if you lose your faith, if you lose your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it affects your joy. Look at people in the scriptures. I think you will look at certain people. There were moments they tend to lose their faith. David was one of them. Job was also one of them. There were times, they started thinking about their faith and they started losing the joy. So our joy is related to our relationship. Our joy is related to our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, he also says, we trust Him. We believe in Him. Not only we love Him, we believe in Him. What do we believe? So he reminds the Christians in 1 Peter. Peter reminds, we believe that even in the midst of our persecution, the presence of God is there. He's there. Right? He's always there. Many times we tend to think when things are not in our favor, the presence of God has actually left us. But he's reminding them, when we are doing God's things in God's way, according to his purposes, his presence is always felt in us. And so he says, we trust him. We believe. What do we believe? We know that his presence is with us. Can you imagine the disciples were in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But they, even though Christ was in the boat, there was a lot of fear in them. But here he reminds them, you believe. You should believe because his presence is with you. Dear friends, I think when we go through difficult moments in your life, the challenging moments, right, one of the things Satan wants to do in our lives is to take away the faith by saying, Christ is not there. He has allowed all these trials into your life. He has allowed all these difficulties in your life. He has allowed all these challenges in your life because Satan is a deceiver. He deceives. He's like a roaring lion. That's what the scripture says, right? He wants to come and lie to you that his presence is no more. Right? His presence is no more. But then Peter reminds the church by saying, we trust him. The more I trust Jesus, the more I trust that his presence is with me, let me tell you, joy is in my heart. I feel good because God is in it. His presence is with me. And then, Peter also reminds the people there, about forgiveness too, right? Knowing that our confessed sins are forgiven. And this is another temptation, right? Many a times, Satan brings to our lives, to our minds by saying, he reminds us of our past sins, our past failures, or our past things that we have done against God, even though we have actually asked for forgiveness, right? He brings back to our mind. He knows when to bring it back, right? and he brings it back so that you won't make a decision to live or to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Peter reminds them, he's actually reminding them that your confessed sins have been forgiven. You have experienced the forgiveness of God in your life. Let me tell you, this is a great challenge for many Christians, because he tells you, you cannot make it because your sins, it comes back again and again. Right? As Christians, we tend to struggle that. Right? We tend to struggle with our past sins. Even though we know it's forgiven, it comes back again. It comes back again, bringing our self-esteem down. Right? Bringing our hopes down. And so, but Peter reminds, we trust him because we trust that he's with us. I've not seen Christ, but he's here. His presence is with me. I trust because he has forgiven my sin, my failures. The things that I've actually given to him, he has forgiven. And so when we start thinking, and when Satan brings back the sin into our life, that robs our joy, that takes away our joy. Always remember that. But the Lord has actually forgiven us, and that's what Peter is reminding the church. And thirdly, he says, and we rejoice in him, right? And he talks about this rejoice here, and he says in verse 8, he says, when I was looking at the word very carefully, he's telling, we have not seen him, right? But then what happens, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in him, we trust in him, right? And so he says, we rejoice in him. And so the way he uses the word, he says this particular word, he says he's filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And in certain versions, you will realize it is written as unspeakable words. In other words, it's above words, right? It's words that cannot be expressed. And so when a person who's trusting God, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, right, whose faith, whose relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is stronger, firmer, and becoming much more deeper, and we know that he's with us, even though Satan tries to take away that idea that Christ is no more there, but even though we just hang on to Christ by saying, I know, Lord, you're with me, we tend to rejoice. And so he uses the word, we recognize the glory of God. In other words, Peter is saying, we will recognize, we will know who God is. And so the joy is knowing who God is. Have you seen some people in our Christian walk, we see them, they go through difficulties, but they're still smiling. Right? When I was growing up in my faith, I remember going to certain Pentecostal churches. I was exposed to certain. And so sometimes when you see them, people with some kind of charismatic experiences, what happens? Sometimes they go through a lot of difficulties, but there's always some kind of joy in their life. Right? It doesn't mean I've not seen it in other churches. No? But when because they say you can't express it. It's something I'm personally experienced in my life. You can't express it. Right? You don't understand why they're full of joy. They're full of confidence. Sometimes we think they're just denying, they're in a denial stage. It's no. So Peter reminds them, you recognize the glory of God. And then he also, when he says this, he's also reminding them that you're actually reflecting the glory of God. So when I'm joyful, what's happening, right? You're actually reflecting the glory of God to people around you. That's what Peter is trying. You are making Christ known to others. So my friends, when the more closer I walk with Christ, the more good feeling I have. I have a nice, good feeling that Jesus is in control. I begin to trust that his presence is with me even though I walk through the valley of darkness. I begin to trust my sins, which are forgiven totally. that is there, right? Nothing can actually shake me. And so I begin to see the glory of God above everything. I begin to see God, right, bigger, greater, larger. Not my problems, not my situation, but I begin to see the glory of God more. And then I begin to reflect the glory of God. And lastly, you know, Peter says, people who are filled in joy, they live in hope, right? And what is the hope? In verse 9, their hope is they are going to receive their full salvation. In other words, they're going, salvation, as I told you, it is not just, you know, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. But salvation in the Bible is when we are fully saved, we are now saved. It doesn't mean we are partially saved, but fully saved, in other words, we are fully in the presence of God. I'm saved, but I have to be saved, right? In other words, I need to maintain my Christian walk with God and be found with Him. And so we live in hope, and the final victory is assured, right? And so that is what Peter is trying to tell us. And that's why, if you realize, Paul always writes this, right? Look at the goal, look at the price, right? Look at the crown that is waiting for you. There's always an emphasis, because that's our final salvation. We will be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be with Him. We will be enjoying His presence. And so people who are filled with joy are people who are always full of hope, because they are hopeful. They know. They know this is what's happening in this world is temporary, very temporal stuff, right? My life is much more greater, right? I have the hope. I have the hope that I'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is important for us, right, as Christians. You know, it's all because when the Spirit of God is in us, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And so it's my prayer, right? Ask the Spirit of God by saying, Lord, I want to have the joy in my life. Fill me each and every day, oh God, with your joy, with your love. Let me close with this. You know, I'm a guy who likes hymns. I love to sing hymns. And some of you might know this song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. What a foretaste, right? And then, Of Glory Divine. And then songs like, you know, Save in the Arms of Jesus, and so on and so forth, right? It's written by a person, a lady called Fanny Crosby. F-A-N-N-Y. Fanny Crosby was born in the year 1820. Realize, 1820, she's dead and gone. And when you look at a story, it's sad. At the same time, it's a happy story too. She became blind at the age of 6 years because the person who was the surgeon was working on her eye gave her the wrong treatment, and she became blind at the age of 6 weeks. During her lifetime, she lived until the age of 95, she wrote 9,000 hymns. 9,000 hymns. Hymns like Blessed Assurance, Save in the Arms of Jesus. Wonderful hymns. Brings you joy, brings you happiness, right? Can you imagine a blind person writing, talking about joy, talking about happiness, and talking about Save in the Arms of Jesus, right? One day, Crosby was actually interviewed, and you know, she was asked this question, and whether she regretted a blindness, whether she blamed God for all these things, and she said no, and she said, I thank God for my blindness. I thank God for my blindness. And these are the words of her. She said, no thanks to my blindness. And she said, the first thing I'll see is the face of my beloved Savior welcoming me in heaven. She said, the first thing that I'll see is the face of my beloved Savior welcoming me in heaven. She did not see the pleasures of this world. She did not experience much happiness. But I think she had the joy. She had the joy because she had a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Eyes have not seen, But she loved God. She believed in God. Because of that, she was just having a joyful life and living a life of hope. And so, my friend, I think we live in a world and time. I think we need that joy. It's all because, and it's always possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only when we start walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives, my friend. The more closer I walk with Him, the more closer I love Him, I begin to trust His presence. I begin to trust His forgiveness. I begin to trust that He is with me at every moment of my life. Nothing can take away that joy away. We will live in hope. Let's pray. Are we walking in this joy? Did you realize in our joy is related to our faith? Our joy is related to our trust in Him. Do you trust that He is with you? Do you trust when you're going through difficult moments in your life? That Christ is there. Many a times we speak about pleasures, we speak about happiness, but Scripture speaks mostly about joy, which is inside you, which is permanent, which stays in you. Which is a good feeling. You feel good because the Lord is with me. Pleasures will go away. Happiness will not last. The joyful person begins to see the glory of God much more greater and bigger. And they live in hope. Father, we know, Lord, that this joy is only possible when Your Spirit is living in our lives. It's not by just doing these things or the other things of God, but when we allow the Spirit of Yours to work in our lives, when we become obedient to Your voice, when we love You, when we walk with You, O God, when we remain in You, Your joy in us will be full. And so, Lord, we pray. Help us, O Lord, to walk closer with You. Help us, O Lord, to love You. Help us, O Lord, to desire You more. And Father, help us to trust You, O God, that You are there every moment of our lives, that our sins are forgiven, because Satan always wants to bring back our past life, Father. Help us to know that I'm a forgiven sinner, that the presence of God is in me. Father, we pray that You'll continue to be with us in our journey. We just love You once again. In Jesus' name we pray.